The older man leaned back into the plastic chair and spoke with a slow drawl through barely parted teeth. "So, you'll be English?"
"Yes, I am," replied the younger man.
"No, I mean your name.
They call me Sarge, because I've served the most tours.
At this table, you're English, on account of the fact you sound like one of those hard-nosed actors that always plays the bad guy."
"Oh, I'm caught with that," replied English.
"So, come on then, can I join?"
Sarge considered him.
"Well, there's a ritual to go through before you can join the club."
English Keith Watson thought he'd heard it all before, but he massaged the stubble on his chin and met the old man's gaze.
"Really? And what would that be, Sarge? Nothing too elaborate, I hope.
I doubt McDonald's likes its customers dancing on the table." Over a month, English had been meeting the regulars in the diner a few mornings a week. The ragtag group of veterans called themselves the Old Farts Club and met daily for support and a glimmer of old comradeship, and coffee with endless refills. The diner sat inside the entrance of a large Walmart. Shoppers streamed by the entrance as the steady group of five men sat at their usual table. One seat sat empty today.
"No, nothing like that."
Sarge twisted the brim of his baseball cap as if it helped him to concentrate and seated it back on his head in exactly the same position. The logo of the 101 First Airborne Division sat proudly, dead centre in the faded fabric.
"Now just tell us a story, but one we've never heard before. And it's got to be a good one."
Dud reached the end of the wall and steeled a look around the corner. His stomach jumped and his heart pounded against his chest. Not 100 yards away, a line of girls stood on the platform with their backs to a train. Evie was there and looked to be staring down the guide. The carriage behind her was wide open, a gaping black space with bricks stacked on top of it. Behind them, a blue car idled, its driver standing beside it. The white van sat to one side.
"They're here," whispered Dud. "Four men, all armed."
"One each," said English.
"Not so quick. There's also five girls, and the main guy has Evie. We can't go in guns blazing. At this range, it's too risky."
"We have the element of surprise, though," said Marbles. "Let Sarge get the main guy in his sights, and we turn the corner and pick a man each. No shooting. We tell them to drop their guns and round them up."
Dud jumped as Evie shouted something behind him. He looked around the corner again to see the girls herded into an empty carriage. The one guy was missing.
"Time's up. They're moving. Chances are one of them climbed into the car, so be wary."
He racked the slide on his pistol.
"It's do or die, guys. Ready?"
They fanned out into a line and swung around the corner as Sarge knelt and sighted the guy next to Evie.
"Don't move,"
shouted Dud. The guide looked up and swore as his colleagues raised their arms. The team shuffled closer as a unit.
"Put your guns on the ground, and you, let go of my wife, you bastard. Hurt her and I'll swear I'll gut you like a fish."
The man smiled as he removed his hand from Evie's hair and widened his fingers as if they were exploding. He held onto his gun.
"Seems I'm definitely a bastard today. Can't say it's good to see you again, man. Still, long time no see, eh?"
"I should take you out right now," said Dud.
"Good for me you're not that type," said the guide.
He looped an arm around Evie's neck, pulled her close, and stepped back a few paces until they grew level with the car's open door.
"Because if our roles were reversed, you'd already be bleeding out."